The voices! The voices! I hear the voices! The voices!
Damn. I could spend a lifetime watching you drown, drown.
Clarence Angelo.
Opa penis style. I'm Alcheska.
And you're watching Asian Glow Podcast.
Okay, what we're talking about today, guys. First of all, welcome.
Welcome back.
It's getting warm in New York, as you can see.
My hands were really, really sweaty on the train today. I let go to like get off the train. Condensation. Isn't that disgusting?
You let go, the bar on the train is melted.
It's like partially melted. It's like skinnier.
No. I was like so excited to wear shorts today, but I'm like kind of traumatized because when we and Jessica did a live show in UCSD, UC Santa Cruz, UCSC.
Yeah, sure.
Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
I decided like, oh, my fit's going to be big baggy jorts. I saw clips of it, and why was my coochie out?
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, like it was like, guys, look at my pee-pee. Yeah. Tuck exposed and everything.
Oh no, my gym and underwear is out for the world to see.
It's been too fucking cold in New York, so like I feel so good. Not only are we in heat, but so is New York.
So is the state.
Recently, we watched a movie, and then we also watched the BTS documentary, and then we also like did a bunch of shit that had to do with movies. So today we're gonna like kind of talk on the theme of movies, but not really. Like we're just
This is kind of like our unprofessional, not film school takes on movies.
So let's get started. Shall we?
We shall. We're not gonna. All right.
No, like J-Hope fucking spit on that thing on that fucking mic for this album.
I don't think that's J-Hope. That's not J-Hope.
Oh. Who is that? Yoongi?
I'm pretty sure that's Yoongi.
Yeah, sorry.
Wait, this is actually like covered in.
Yeah, no. How much money would you pay for a BTS mic cover, like the cover this, but after their studio session?
$0.
Because that is.
Because it's going to be free.
Weird.
Oh. Imagine recovering all their spit and putting it into like a little like bacteria dish tray.
Stop.
No, bacteria dish tray.
Weird.
That's no. That's from a science laboratory professional. Just to see how much bacteria is in the average human.
Bill Nye, I have an episode request for you.
Bill Nye, I have an idea.
Computer.
I just saw that shit.
No, what? Hey, wait. Why was it the whole time during the BTS documentary? I was like, computer, make these guys gay and horny.
I saw like.
What are your thoughts on the BTS documentary? Computer, make these guys gay and horny. Okay, we'll get to it. We're gonna get to the BTS documentary, but speaking of science and all of that, we watched a very scientifically sound movie. Mm-hmm. We watched Hoppers.
Hoppers out now in theaters.
Hoppers? What the did I just watch?
It was crazy.
No, because
Hoppers more like.
No, I need to hop on whatever drugs the producers were making.
Hoppers more like poppers, bitch. Like, that shit was crazy. That shit was actually crazy.
Okay, Hoppers out of context. Shark nuke. Come on.
Hoppers out of context.
I'm sorry I killed your mom. Okay.
potato, eggplant, potato, beaver.
I'm Diane.
I fucking love Diane.
I'm Diane. First, you're gonna feel a sensation of me biting. Second, we'll be dead.
Followed by death.
So we watched Hoppers on Friday, and the first thing is expectations were absolutely zero fucks in the fucking ground.
Yeah, I didn't really hear anything about it.
No, I saw, you know, promos for it. You know, Disney did its, like, $1 million budget thing.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, period. I personally think that Hoppers... I give it a 4.5 on Letterboxd.
Period. I would give it, honestly, like, probably a 4.5, 4.8. I don't know if Letterboxd does 0.5s.
No.
Or anything but 0.5s.
Because the beginning, I low-key was like, we're not gonna... We'll just talk about it. But
we'll, like, just talk about it. Like, y'all probably have already seen it. It's so good. And if you haven't seen it, fucking go watch it, bitch.
The beginning, I thought it was going to be, like, super, super, like... You know how, like, millennials will create a movie to relate to Gen Z, and then it'll be like, we'll do everything in our power to make sure that there's one gay couple, and yeah, we're going to make sure that we touch sustainability in the most, like, Girl Scout-coded way.
Sure, yeah.
I thought it was going to be that low-key in the beginning.
Oh, really?
Like,
wait, why?
The movie talks about, like, environmentalism, and it also talks about, you know, like, arguably leftist ideas and very conservative or very capitalistic ideas. And so I was like, okay, this is gonna be, like, literally just a goon sesh to, like, get the Gen Z to be like, wow, this is so relatable and so what we need right now.
Yeah.
But then we were doing Shark Nukes.
Yeah, I think they went about it in a very tasteful and, like, childish fucking way. So I was like, hilarious fucking way. It was really funny.
I genuinely, besides, what's that Kiki Palmer and SZA movie?
I know what you're talking about. It's,
what's it called?
Good days.
Okay, so I was saying was, I haven't been in a movie theater that was that expressive towards the movie, like, outwardly.
Everyone
since
was like,
One of Them Days.
Everyone was locked the fuck. You saw One of Them Days in theaters?
Yeah, and it
that
was
must
like
have been so fun.
No, it was actually lit as fuck. Like, all the love. I was dead ass the only not black person in there. Me and my friend Lauren. White, like, white girl, like, white Christian girl.
Right.
We were in there having a fucking time. Like, the people next to us were, like, literally, like, bumping my... I was like, this is fucking funny. Like,
this shit is good.
Yeah, just one of these. Like, I'm slapping my knee. So, but then we watched Hoppers, and genuinely, like, bitch, your reactions, like, I haven't said this to you out loud. You were echoing in that fucking theater. Which is why I thought afterwards, guys, like, afterwards I was like, y'all, like, seeing that, like, low-key lit as fuck, like, in the clouds, like...
I wasn't in the clouds.
No, I was just like, wait, y'all are lit?
And then I was just like, oh, it was so fun seeing that high. And I said, everyone here is high?
And I go, oh. Because I thought you were reacting that way because you were low-key lit as fuck. No. You're just a loud bitch.
That's... which is what the movie theater needed, if I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, bring,
like,
back the theaters,
the
and bring back loud
trendsetter. Yeah.
Because, like, genuinely, like, there is a scene where, okay, so the premise of the movie is very similar to Avatar, and this was in the trailer.
Avatar, like,
no, Avatar blue, bitch.
Yeah, Avatar blue.
Hot, Avatar hot, sexy, slutty waist, blue tail, fucking Avatar.
Oh, we'll be talking about that in a second.
So then it's like you get transported into the animal world, essentially, right? But, like, it's like this genuine, like, if technology nowadays had it so that we could communicate with animals and, like, transfer ourselves into a robot, you know, beaver,
it
then
would
we
be
can
like
talk.
That.
Yeah, right. The fucking part where they catch, like, the robot beaver not being a fucking beaver, and, like, the beaver's walking on all fours, and then it goes up to the staircase, guys. The beaver goes up to the staircase, and it, like, kind of just, like, looks around to check that no one's watching, and then gets on 2 feet and just starts holding the handrail going down the fucking stairs.
It's literally like,
no, like, like, I was like, I let air out of my nose. And then I feel this, like, equivalent of, like, a 2.3 earthquake happening to my right. And it's all Jessica and her roommates fucking losing their shit.
Because the beaver just... the beaver is, by the way, like this.
The beaver goes...
I was going to get it. I literally was like, what the fuck?
And so I was literally dying, like, at you laughing at that.
Because I was like.
And the main character's reaction was. That's what I was dying at. Like, the movie's comedy is so good. The movie's comedy is so good.
But, bitch, watch it with people that...
You need to watch it with people who, like, don't care. Is your computer dead?
Oh, shit.
Okay, no, no, no.
Oh, my God. Hoppers! What's on my computer, by the way?
Holy shit. Oh, my God. If you could be transported into the animal world...
What animal would you be first?
I would love to be obviously a land animal.
I think. Whoa, really?
Yeah. Oh,
a water animal.
A water animal.
Yeah,
I would be a water animal, and I would low key
because
like,
you can communicate with them through what's it called, ectoplasm? What the?
Oh, hey, ouch! That was like you know the stupid that's like kind of annoying.
Hey.
No, there was a stupid, there was a stupid
that's... What is it called?
Echolocation?
I was fucking close.
Ectoplasm sounds like a song that NCT would release.
Exactly! That's what they should have named their...
Ectoplasm. In my ectoplasm.
Baggy jeans.
If you could hop into an animal, like, what would you do first? Here's what I would do.
I know what I would do.
Okay, go.
See if I could crack a nut. With, like, my teeth. Or, like, if I was a chicken, I would, like, beep, 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 beep. Peck, 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 peck.
Wait, I'm, like, are you being, like, suggestive?
No, I just want to see, like, how strong a beak is.
Beep, 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 you were a bird.
Yeah, if I was a bird. But you then I wanted to see if I could crack.
That would have helped to know that because you said, I would love to crack a nut. I was, like, you want a nut as an animal?
And then I was, like, I want to be a water animal.
You said, you said I want to crack a nut and then proceeded to say peck, 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 peck. Filipinos listening?
The Filipino audio listeners. She wants to do what? She wants to crack a nut with her peck peck?
You could do that as a human. Okay, I would be a wolf. And
if you're
going to
say something really annoying.
No, just to get the tea in the caves. Just to get the fucking tea.
Okay.
Also, would love to listen in on, like, you know when peacocks are, like, fighting for a girl and they're showing...
Yeah.
What do you think they sound like? This is what I think peacocks sound like when they're fighting.
Like when
for
the
a
males
girl.
Are fighting for.
Hello, my name is Pierre, and I'm gonna show you my feathers.
My feathers.
And the girl's like, ooh. Or
yuck.
Yeah. Me, if I was a peacock girl and he only had 20 feathers.
Does that make the cut?
Micro feather. Did you hear Pierre has a micro feather?
Why are they all French and weird?
Pierre. No, I would love to hear like birds like going.
Yeah, I would love the tea too. If I was a peacock.
Yeah, but what would you be? I would actually happily.
Oh, it's kind of a tough question. I think I would be.
I would happily be a stingray.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I'd be a panda, just cause like.
What do you think the panda boy sounds like?
Hey, man, man.
I was gonna go for the same thing.
Why are we extinct? Why are we extinct? Hanging off upside down from a tree. I think stingrays sound like Mr. Ray, but I think it's because I got fucked up by Nemo. Like,
how did you get like, fucked up by Nemo?
They kind of sound like Sheldon.
They're like professional. Yeah, they're all school teachers for some reason.
Mr. Ray.
Yeah.
Stingrays give like. Swimmer in a body swimmer like Olympic swimmer vibes.
Oh, like Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
Oh.
They give that.
Oh, okay.
And I would love to just be in like a group of stingrays being like, what's up? Like just like in a squad.
Or like the sea turtles. Have you seen like in at Disney the
Crush?
Yeah.
Okay, dream fucking job.
Crush?
Being Crush's voice at Disney World.
Yeah, because what is he doing back there?
Improv.
Eating Funyun, sitting, yeah, improving with the kids. Like, that's fucking hilarious.
Yes,
yeah,
you're a child's undeniable source of joy that he'll never forget for the rest of his life.
And the parents.
And you just have to be funny.
And the parents. Like, the whoever's doing the Crush voice is also good at making the parents laugh. Like,
no, literally, crushing it.
Did you cry at any point?
No, but you did, right?
I didn't cry. I did. I thought I wasn't gonna cry. Okay, I cried at the end when it's like not anything really tied to the grandma and her granddaughter's relationship. It's when the little It's whenever the little beaver with the king beaver, what's his name, George? Yes. Whenever George,
I feel so maternal to George.
Me too. Whenever George go, whenever you see his like black beady eyes, and then he goes, I could cry just thinking about it. It's because it reminds me of my dog.
Know that. Because when you have a dog,
like imagine that being Charlie.
No, because when someone has a dog, or when you have a dog,
yeah,
like so bad, like good or bad, I see my dog in every animal,
in every single animal, including in the deer, in George, in the fucking robot beaver that was actually the main character.
No, including like animals that could fucking kill me, like ooh, lion. Oh, look at the lion sitting like Charlie. I'm gonna go pet it. I think that, like, I remember I was at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
And I saw the lion, like, perched like this. And I was like,
it's so cute.
He would rip your fucking brains
out.
Yeah,
he would. But look at his little paws.
Right? The paws.
The paws that were folded in.
Do you think this for animals is this for humans?
No, I think this is this.
Oh, this is work.
This is work.
Yes.
Yeah.
This?
Yeah, when they're, like, laid out like this. Equivalent to this.
I think I like the trope of Disney now where it's, like, the love story is familial, friendship-based, yeah, sisterhood-based, brotherhood-based, yeah, community-based, rather than, you
love
know.
Love interest between, like,
I need a man and a woman. I need my Flynn Rider, I need my, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that era of Disney's kind of over.
So Disney's take on that whole, like, having a boyfriend is Republican thing, we know your
LOL.
Answer.
Yep.
No, I also was thinking, like, yeah, this is why Pixar Studios has to be in San Francisco, because they need whatever fucking drug they needed to make the masterpiece that was Hopper's.
I would love to be in that fucking room. In that green room?
Yeah. Workshopping that?
Workshopping that. Imagine, hey everyone, like, welcome to today. Let's throw out some ideas.
No, what, like, if
the,
that's
what,
like,
if the apex predator flew in the air?
Like, I'm gonna mention this with the BTS documentary too, but like, okay. I crave, you know, people, I crave community. I mean, gratefully, I have the dance community, but I crave, like, a workshop table. I crave, like, that with, like, just, like, constantly insane ideas that are so good, because I feel like more times than not, like, two people have good ideas, everyone else is kind of just bad.
Yeah, whatever.
But then, like,
when you latch onto that good idea, I feel like people's brains just start running in every single direction.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun, and that's exactly the batshit crazy, like, stuff that was in Hopper.
Did you hear that there was a hot man committee for Flynn Rider?
What?
When they were creating Tangled years ago.
Okay.
They were, like, in a fucking, like, multiple week session talking about what is a hot Flynn Rider. Like, what's a hot man? And they were debating butt chin or no butt chin for, like, 2 weeks. And they were, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that sounds like fucking fun.
No, that does sound like, wow, just debating a butt chin is crazy.
But, like, debating it in, like, the funniest, most, like, you're, like, low-key, fuck him. Like, low-key, like...
Like, low-key, yeah. Smash, like,
yeah, low-key.
After doing field research, like, low-key, no, smash. Like,
when I was eight, I low-key wanted, like, Prince Charming to have, like, a little bit of a butt chin, like, maybe a little bit. Like, I feel like that would be the funnest fucking room ever. Like,
yeah, I would have loved that.
No, whoever works in that field, like, can I just, like,
can we get an in?
Can I get a podcast?
Yeah, like, can we get an in?
Like, I just need a podcast episode. I don't need to be in the room. I just want to listen to y'all just, like, making some bullshit up.
Yeah, someone record it and then release it. Release the file.
What are, like, weirdly specific items from movies that you, like, cannot forget? Because I can start.
Okay, you can start. Does it have to be
Let's
movies?
Let's start fucking easy.
Does it have to be anything, movies? Anything. Okay, period. Because I have a list.
Let's start easy. Turkish Delights from Narnia.
I'm going to be honest. I've never really watched Narnia.
Wait, you're no fucking fun. The Turkish.
Pull it up. Because I probably.
You've never watched Narnia?
I've seen it maybe once, but bitch, like, whatever with that shit.
Do you not
remember?
I'm sorry. The fucking. Do you not remember these? Because these.
Whoa, stacked fucking cast, though. I know that woman.
I've never. The fucking Snow Queen giving.
Yeah. Whoa!
I've never wanted a Turkish Delight more in my life. Had a Turkish Delight, those can burn. But.
Wait, they're, like, good.
Try it again.
Well, did you have
actually,
them?
Actually, no. You I've had a good one. I've had a good one.
Yeah, they're
from,
like,
where? We're about to say Costco.
Turkey.
Have you had it from Turkey?
They're from Turkey, right? They're not like some Dubai shit, you know? Like, it's not some bullshit, right?
Actually, that's a great question.
I'm like legitimately asking. Because y'all will say, ooh, Dubai chocolate chewy cookie, whatever, and it's from Korea. Like, don't piss me off, bitch.
Okay, it originated in Turkey. Thank God.
No, I've had Turkish delights and they were good. That's true,
because French fries aren't even French. They're Belgian.
Tea.
Ha! That's good. Turkish delights from Narnia.
Where did you have them?
Gagarina. Costco. Costco.
And they were bad?
Yeah, bad boots. But I had them in the Czech Republic when I was living there.
And they were fire.
Delightful. Some may say Turkishly delightful.
Turkishly delightful.
Okay, another thing.
Another thing.
Come on.
The fucking porridge from Mulan. The two eggs with the bacon.
Moment of silence. Moment of silence for the... Who is that porridge I see?
Staring straight.
Steamingly. When will my
reflection
in the porridge? Can I say something back? I like to look at my reflection in my porridge. Anyone else look at their reflection in their sundubu?
Okay.
I have another one.
Okay.
The steak from. Come on!
You gotta say it. The steak
from Madagascar.
Which one?
You're about to piss me off.
There's like three Madagascars.
The steak.
Girl, pull up the steak.
You fucking suck.
That fucking T-bone ass steak.
Every time I'm at the grocery, I'm like, where's the little thing? Where's the little thing in the middle?
Where's the little bone in the middle? Where's the bone marrow?
Can I get the Madagascar steak? No, because
yeah, that shit looks delightful.
That steak.
Not that I want to eat it, but it's memorable.
Okay.
The hot dog fingers from Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, it's not that I want to eat it, because in that universe, the hot dogs are their fingers, and like that's gross.
That makes me want to throw up.
But just the idea of
hot dog fingers.
Imagine. Yeah. Imagine finger being this fucking hot.
Okay, you want to know something? This is gonna rock your world.
What?
Did you watch Kim Possible?
Yeah.
The nachos.
The fucking nachos.
That fucking naked mole rat thing that would just play with the fucking nachos. I'd be like, you are living my fantasy. He was like swimming in the cheese. And I was like, I've never felt jealousy. I was like, wow, six years old. This must be what jealousy feels like.
That's the fucking cricket with the Mulan porridge. Swimming in the porridge.
Yeah.
In another life, I'm a cricket swimming
another
in
one,
porridge.
Oh my God, I just thought of one. The peanut butter and jelly sandwich from Lilo and Stitch.
That's a really good one.
That's like the jelly sandwiches from SpongeBob. I'm on a fucking roll.
The pretty patties from SpongeBob.
Oh my God.
Pretty patties from SpongeBob.
The jelly, the purple jelly.
Yes. Yeah, bitch.
I'm salivating.
This is so very, very, very niche. The cake from Purple Place.
What is Purple Place?
Purple Place is the game.
Purple Place. I'm really trying here.
It's a computer. When I show it to you.
Also, the celery from Webkinz. I think that's what put celery on the map for me. Oh my God, you just like... What was this?
It was a computer game. And
what did you do in the game?
And you would make... cake! You would make cake,
oh my God.
Then you would do like other things in the other two houses, but you would just fucking make cake. The way they squirted on that fucking fondant,
I look like the
cream
or
whatever. me with the fucking cake.
Also, the Club Penguin pizza.
Welcome. Also, I would eat the house.
No, that's what I was gonna say.
I would eat the house.
I wanted to lick the house so bad.
I wanted to lick the
house down boots.
Lick the house down boots.
The title of this video: licking the house down boots and purple pout. Purple place. Do you remember? Okay, this is obviously like no duh, but like in Over the Hedge, there was a moment where he opened up a bag of chips and the powder exploded everywhere and it was like glowing.
Whoa! Lost me there. But, oh, pull it up. Oh, that's gonna be real niche to find. Over the hedge, exploding dust out of chip bag.
Over the hedge, Chipsy! Someone has a clip!
Whatever. Thanks for stopping by. We're not.
40. The most delicious food you've ever tasted?
This is something that you're just not.
Body tea.
Open to.
This walked so hoppers could run. Me as fuck. Me as fuck. Look at that chip. Look at that chip. Have you never ever seen a more perfect Dorito in your fucking life?
No, for real. No. That exploding cheese dust was like me when I was a kid when I first like saw a Clover Chips bag open. Because when I saw a Clover Chips bag open, and the Filipinos understand this, I would equate that to like the Big Bang.
Because it was so gaggy. Life-changing. Oh, okay.
I have one that'll rock your world.
What?
Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior.
The mooncake!
Oh my god. That shit was crazy. That shit was crazy.
Also, Wendy Wu's dad smash.
Okay, so let's look him up.
Seriously, look him up. He's like iconic.
Okay,
we haven't talked about BTS at all.
No, now we need to talk.
Oh, it's real bad.
Now we need to talk about, holy fuck, we need to talk about the BTS documentary.
Yeah, and guys, if I'm gonna be honest, I didn't finish it.
I have so much to discuss.
I kept pausing. But I will finish it. Don't be in my DMs being like, oh, you're a fake army. Bitch, shut the fuck up, bitch.
Okay. BTS documentary.
Yes.
You've seen majority of it, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Majority of it.
First thing. Okay, so there was a scene, and we need to rewatch this because it, like, genuinely altered my fucking perspective. Have you gotten to this point?
When they're in LA?
When they're listening in the body to body, because they're trying to figure out Arirang.
Yes.
Having the whole stage.
Is it Yoongi in the back or Jimin?
It's Yoongi.
Yeah, Yoongi. Someone play Mario? Did you hear that? What?
An event song. What do they mean by that?
Like, I think like FIFA World Cup.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, this scene,
them discussing it is crazy.
It's like every thought I've ever had.
Yep. Okay, let's break it down.
Okay, so what I was going to say about this scene. So essentially for the audio listeners, what we just played was when Body to Body was being produced. Obviously, the background of it is the Korean folk song, Arirang, mm-hmm. right? And so, like, J-Hope and Jimin really like what the producer has done to it. The whole show or the whole documentary, they've been trying to figure out how to incorporate this folk song into whether if they should.
Yeah.
And this producer just kind of turned it into this, like, buildup of a beat, essentially, mm-hmm. right? Then they're reacting to it. J-Hope and Jimin go crazy. RM walks in. And then RM's kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so now they're discussing and, like, having discourse about, like, if they like it or
if
not.
They like
and
it
they're
or not.
Completely
yeah.
divided on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I forget they discourse like this to this extent.
Yeah.
Every single person in this is correct. And I also thought it was crazy that RM immediately looks at Yoongi to be like...
Yeah, and then did you see Yoongi's face? He was like...
Yeah.
Yeah, they were not against it. And I feel like... Who was
they
it?
They were not J-Hope? For it.
Oh, yeah, they were not for it. But who did you say? J-Hope and Jimin
J-Hope
only?
And Jimin were like...
The ones pushing
into
for
it.
It.
Yeah.
And bitch, thank God they did.
I thought, on my end, that BTS, since they're so, you know, big... that they don't even really consider what people want anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, there's another scene where they're talking about when the creative director like presents the idea of like the Korean traditional folk music, and they're like, I don't know if people are gonna like this because
we're comparing ourselves to
I think it was Jimin that said it. He was like, I feel like people are expecting so much out of us the next time they hear from us because we were discharged from the military, and then it feels wrong to take a big break, and so that's why we're like balancing all these other opinions about what the album should be from other people. And then at the end of that conversation, they're like, fuck it, let's just make something fun.
No, exactly. The whole time in this documentary, I kept thinking, like, who's rushing you?
I have an answer. I have an idea.
Because I thought it was initially Hybe.
That's what my answer was. Was it not? Because
they were all asking RM if we were still down to do a March release. So like my brain was thinking maybe before they like were out, they're like, let's be back by March for Army. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, before they even all enter the military? That's crazy.
Or like during planning. It or whatever. Yeah. You know, like it sounded predetermined. Like when they were asking that, they weren't asking it in front of Mr. Bang.
Yeah.
Right? They were asking that to each other, like in the villa. Mm. So I was like wondering if the pressure was. I mean, undeniably, there was pressure from
Hybe. It was from Hybe and then also from themselves.
Exactly.
Definitely to push this out when it felt right.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like this documentary low key came off, like in a way, like this is honest opinion. Mm-hmm. This documentary came off as this was almost rushed,
the album. Okay.
Yeah, like I felt a sense of panic
with this.
when watching
me
this.
Too honestly,
like, we have to get it done. Which is fair. Mm-hmm. Like I think that, you know, they've been gone for a while and like it's up to them to really come back.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I've always thought, you know how every K-pop group is like, we care so much about, we miss you, fandom name.
Yeah.
We miss you, blah, 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 name, yeah, right? Yeah. I feel like there is no group that says their fandom name more and addresses their fandom name more than BTS. Because mm-hmm. I wouldn't even argue that Big Bang would say VIPs a million times.
No, to be honest, I've been a Big Bang fan for like since their debut, and I didn't know that the fandom name was VIP until I was like in middle school, right? High school.
And so like like I always in the beginning when I first engaged with BTS, and also I always thought like, oh, it's kind of corny, like that they're like, oh, ARMY, we miss you, ARMY, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But like as time has gone on, and maybe this is like a part of their strat, I don't fucking know, but like I'm like, holy fuck, like the parasocialness is very two-way for them.
Yeah,
like there's a parasocialness that undeniably fans have towards mm-hmm. them, but it's called the parasocial relationship because it goes both ways.
Yeah, like, and I feel like theirs is genuine too, because I with other groups, I'm not gonna say fucking who, whenever they like address their fandom name, it's so rehearsed and it's so like, damn, this is really corporate talking.
Yeah. And like even they were not fully sold on Swim being the title track. Mm-hmm. The whole time it was this, right?
Yeah.
And I'll get to like my thoughts on that, but it was like they were unsure about Swim being the title track, but after understanding that Swim was a song about ARMY and mm-hmm. like, oh, we've been gone, but like, just know we've been thinking of you. The fact that that is one of the main reasons why it became a title track. Like, how many groups?
Yeah.
Will come back and choose a title track that is the one about acknowledging that we've been gone.
Yeah.
Many groups will come back with a banger.
Yeah.
And so, like, what I said in the last episode, where I was like, I think Faya should have been. I actually take it back. Like, I fully take it back after,
yeah, I
like,
gotta take mine back too.
A week too.
Yeah. After a second thorough listen, I'm like, damn, they were kind of right.
they were very much correct with Swim being the thing. And this is what, like, I told y'all I'm not a professional, but V said they chose Swim as the title track because it's the song that they could listen to over and over again. It's the most, like, you can re-listen to it over and over again. Whereas Faya, like, I played it
It's for a specific time. I play it in the gym time. And I'm done. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's so good. I play good.
Getting ready and I'm done.
Yeah.
Imagine how many times, like, I would say Internet Girl is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they teased it so much that by the time it came out,
it was like...
Internet Girl is not a song you listen to multiple times over and over again. It's not. It essentially hit, like, Mount Everest, and at the top of Mount Everest, it hit a fucking wall. Like, no one liked it. Obviously, it was because of certain, like, technical aspects of it, but I think... It's not a song you can listen to multiple times, especially if you're playing it in a live version and then all of a sudden it sounds different on audio. Like,
yeah.
It's not going to do
That's
well.
That's so true.
But then Swim is doing great because it's like, we're going to hear it a million times. I think now, how many TikToks have we seen? Probably over 200 times.
Yeah.
And if it was Faya... I would lose my mind.
Yeah, me too.
I would be so over it.
Yeah, me too.
I would literally be so over it. Have you gotten to the Jimin? The Jimin talk at the end?
No.
No, no, no. Like, you have no choice.
Okay.
근데 어쨌든 어렸을 때 목표는 줄곧 이거였고. 될 거라고 생각 이런 것보다는 잘 되는 모습을 계속 상상하면서 여기까지 온 것 같아요. 많은 사람들 앞에서 공연하는 뭐 멋있는 옷 입고. 멋있는 노래하면서 공연하는 제 모습 생각하면서 여기까지 온 것 같습니다.
Period.
This whole oh my god, I thought his monologue was the best part, and that's not even like bias. I think him but and Yoongi's monologue were like the best.
The
ones.
Best. Okay. Because
Yoongi's was his balance between like. Will they like it versus do I like it? Mm-hmm. Am I happy, essentially? Yeah, yeah. And, like, I feel like that shocked me, too. Yoongi being someone who's like, do people like it?
Yeah, because he comes off as the person who doesn't like, give a fuck
here's
about
my craft,
anything.
Here's my craft, this
yeah,
is your craft.
Yeah, you're just going to take it.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah, I was like,
but
whoa.
At the same time, you still have to consider, like, he has been in the public eye since, like, he was literally a teen. So, like, you can't not put that into consideration, especially when you're as big as them. I don't know. It just makes it seem more real.
Exactly.
That they're, like, still people who still, like, balance other people's opinions
on
what
they produce. No, that's what I was going to say. Like, they balance each other out so well because whereas Yoongi's battle was, will they like it? Will this be accepted? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Jimin literally was just stating how the only reason I've gotten here is because I knew I was going to get it.
Yeah.
And I was like...
Investing in your own imagination
investing
is
in
so...
your own imagination. This is...
That's that- so good. That's like kind of what I needed to hear right now.
No. Because that goes in so many situations nowadays where I feel like now when I'm like... What am I, 26? I feel like I've been able to clock and mesh with people faster if they're good. And if it's like good synergy with someone, right? Like, if I sense someone's energy as good, the bond is quick.
Yeah.
Like, it happens quick.
Yeah.
And the other way around happens too, where I sense someone's ulterior motives or I sense someone's energy that I maybe don't necessarily align with. It's quick to know.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I think there's obviously.
That's honestly like really great.
But there's a checks and balances there, you know what I'm saying? Where I need to make sure, like, there's been plenty of times where I thought this of someone, but then they ended up being completely different.
Yeah.
Good or bad. But. A lot of times nowadays, when he said investing in your own imagination, like, that's where I can recognize if synergy with someone is off or on.
Mm-hmm.
To the point of, like, it's the same way how, like, you know when someone's been watching Tyler Oakley, or you know if someone was watching O2L. Like, you sense that because we invested in... that right like we watched these people because they were so incredibly out and expressive and you know just like doing shit and like we enjoyed them because we wanted to be them you know what I'm saying like Tyler Oakley creating a book about just being unapologetically homosexual and unapologetically cringe and unapologetically loud and always talking about that book in every video. He would always be like, oh, read my book, read my book.
Yeah.
Like, we watched that because we wanted it, right?
Yeah.
And, like, that was low-key us investing in our imagination. So, and it, when I meet someone who's, like, you know, only really watched, no offense, but what the masses have watched.
Yeah.
It shows.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I can only surround myself with people who have invested in their imagination like that. Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to those people being what I find to be very beneficial for society. Like, people who have invested in their imagination, likely in my case, in my experience, have been kinder people. They have been people who
I agree.
Like, if you invest in your imagination, a lot of that goes hand in hand with, like, investing in your own empathy and your own, mm-hmm. like, skills and sympathy as well.
Yeah.
You know the phrase, if you get it, you get it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm, like, all over the place right now, but, like, I feel like if you get it, you get it mm-hmm. is so, so real right now.
Yeah.
And essentially, the source of that is kind of goes back to what he said. Like, I've invested a lot of time in my personality and I've invested a lot of time in my own imagination that I'm going to succeed. Mm-hmm. And I need to only be around people who think the same way.
Yeah.
Because it's delusion at the end of the day. And
yeah,
I need to be around people who are kindly delusional.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Delusional is like, it's not supposed to be like, yes, it's like comedy and like people will be like derogatory or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you have to believe in yourself a little, like, not even
you
a little
do.
Bit. You have to believe in yourself so much to the point where that just becomes your truth.
Because how many times has imposter syndrome been super strong too? You know what I'm saying?
More times than I can fucking.
Right?
You
and
know?
Like, do you think that growing up in Texas,
are you kidding?
Something about imposter syndrome is there?
Yes, of course. Because from the moment you step into that state, that school, whatever, you are automatically, if you look like us, you're automatically an outsider. And so everything that you try to pour into, like,
or
your
achieve,
extracurriculars, or you whatever you want to achieve, you're going to get some sort of, like, oh, I'm, like, foreign here. Like,
yeah,
I don't belong
your
here.
Your path, let's say even middle school. Right,
especially middle school. I'm so sorry.
Your path to being first chair is different than a white guy's path to being first chair.
Yeah,
because not only if you get first chair does it happen, your path came with looking different.
Mm-hmm.
Your path came with people not expecting you to be that good.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
no, that's really good to hear someone like Jimin say, if I'm gonna be honest, especially as, like, I'm turning 25 and moving to New York has been, like, really crazy to figure out and just, like, figure out where I belong in the city and things like that. But it's good to hear someone say, like, it's important to
invest
and invest in your imagination. It's like what you were saying about, like, how we would watch Tyler Oakley, how we would watch, like, I don't know, for me, like, I has Cupquake, like, all these YouTubers that I obviously look up to and have made such a big impact on my personality and what I want to do. So it's just like restructuring, looking up to them. You just have to look up to yourself in a
exactly.
way, like, look up to yourself, like, 5 years from,
like,
now, you know,
instead of admiring them, at the same time admire that you're admiring it.
Yeah,
because, like, so many people are just don't
exactly
don't even care.
Yeah that was so good to hear, if
yeah,
I'm gonna be honest.
Like, watching this, I low-key was like, whoa. Like, recently we've been busy with, like, a bunch of Texas
mm-hmm.
stuff, but, like, there was a true amount of, like, I've told you this, but, like, I'll share it on the pod, there was a true amount of imposter syndrome with all the things that I've been doing recently.
Yeah,
like, thank you guys for the love on it, but I just did my first commercial, like,
which
dance commercial,
which was crazy.
Like, I've never even debriefed about this, the imposter syndrome it was
to what,
not
like, film?
Only be a part of it, but the to submit an audit, to be considered
mm-hmm.
for an audition for Michael Jackson
mm-hmm.
was, like, I just had to, like, thank God we were busy that day, because the day the audition happened, or
oh
the audition
God.
Submission happened, was 30 minutes before we had to get to Twice.
Yes.
And we were doing
yeah.
Twice stuff for work. Like,
yeah.
We were working with the arena on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we were busy.
So that you couldn't overthink about it.
No, because...
No, I saw Clarence locked in a corner, like, submitting his information. I was like, I'm just gonna let him be, and then we'll...
No, because, like, It we'll came go. Down to everything. My headshot. Like, oh, I wish my shoulders were bigger. I wish my face was, you know, like, all, whatever bullshit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, my portfolio, like, this dance video is, like, not that. So it's been crazy. And then I also had to teach in Texas alongside two people who are, like, people that I've admired my whole life. So much fucking imposter syndrome. And then, obviously, filming the fucking commercial, too, with, like, Lionsgate there.
Yeah.
A crew with, like, headsets in, being like, go. I was like, this is everything I could have ever dreamed of. And, like, it was on the streets of New York. And I was like, I have no time for imposter syndrome right now.
Yeah, you just have to go.
But if I did not invest in my imagination, if I did not have, I would argue, my entire life of delusion, thinking that I would not have been ready for that moment.
Yeah.
Like, truly. Like, do yourself a service and be delusional, because that is just as important as warming up and stretching your legs the day of. You can warm up and stretch your legs as much as you can, but if you haven't, like, fully convinced yourself that you belong in that space, you're not going to perform the way that you want. Yeah. That video of you doing it is not going to be as good as you want.
Yeah.
I was, like, truly, guys, like, I truly was shocked when I had a moment in the commercial.
No, when I saw you, I was like,
fucking mind. I was like,
no, when it cut to you in center, I was like, oh my god,
I lost my mind when he played.
Did you know that was gonna happen?
No, because we did it 40 times.
Oh my god, I have chills. That's crazy.
And I walked into that first practice and, like, I saw who was in there, and it was, like, one of my, like, New York idols, like, as a dancer, and I literally was like, nice to meet you. On the inside,
SpongeBob meme, that SpongeBob meme of, like, all the SpongeBobs running around, everything's on fire.
Yeah, but I just had to do it. You had to be delusional on the outside.
Yeah.
Just do it.
If you're in that room, that practice room, that green room, that workshop room, whatever, you deserve to be there.
Yeah. So, like, if you guys have anything big coming up and you feel like you don't belong, there's honestly no fucking time.
Thank you, BTS. No. that was genuinely like, thank you, BTS. Like, no, holy shit.
Like, when people are truly talking about, like, star power and blah, 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 I think it goes hand in hand with delusion.
Oh. Yeah, I think that's becoming way more apparent to us as we, like, are in our mid-20s, our late-20s, whatever. But it's true. Like
when I think about, why does Bruno Mars have star power? It's because of, like, how are you living a life like this? Where you're so incredibly confident about every single thing that you do. He's not in a different earth. He's not on a different planet.
Yeah, he's on this one, but
he's just delusionally doing the way that, you know what I'm saying? And, like, I feel like that was very, very refreshing to see
someone as big as Jimin from BTS talk about.
Being like, that was a choice. Like, this is a choice. This wasn't something because we're big now that I have it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's been there.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
poof. It's just crazy.
I love the man.
It's crazy. And it's very, like, it's good that people are talking about it. It's good at being normalized.
Yeah. Welcome back from the break.
From the break.
This part of the podcast is a segment that we like to call
Asians Answer.
This is where we answer the questions that you guys send us on Discord. So if you're 16 and up, join the Discord. And if not, you can follow me on Instagram. Sometimes we post on our story. If you could ask BTS one question.
That wasn't on the doc.
okay. Real. We just watched a documentary.
Okay.
If you had the opportunity, I would fucking cry.
I'm getting heart palpitations thinking about asking them a question.
Oh my god. If I ever, you know, we're doing interviews this year.
No. Like, that. If that happened, like, guys, listen, okay, we're retiring the channel.
The next people you'll be interviewing is.
Y'all would see a get ready with me to interview BTS. Me interviewing BTS. Crying after interviewing BTS.
Kim
me
Kardashian having breakfast just
2 weeks after interviewing BTS. What's in my bag after interviewing BTS?
Get ready with me to see the Hannah Montana movie.
After interviewing BTS. Like, every video will have after. You remember how I said that Clarence has changed since the Ariana Grande repost? Since AGR.
Oh my god.
Girl. It'll be
since AGR day.
Did you hear that she might be teasing an 8th album?
No. No, she's not.
I don't know what it was.
Ariana Grande, you have the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever and name a song called Ethan Slater.
We need a Pete Davidson part two, please.
Because in Eternal Sunshine, Greater Days Ahead, the hotline, you know that hotline?
Okay.
Apparently, at the end of it, she's like, we've been super excited practicing our eighths. I mean, our show or something like that. Fuck!
Practicing our eighths?
And her next album would be her eighth album. So then she was like, oops, sorry. Like, that's what she said. Wait,
girl, don't piss me off. Don't piss me off.
Counting down the eighths. Oops, I mean the days. We'll see you this summer. And remember, there are always brighter days ahead.
Ariana Grande is fun.
As many as we can this summer in person. We're counting down the eighths. Oops, I mean the days.
Until no, the tour.
It's confirmed.
No,
it's eights, confirmed.
I was thinking like counting down the eights, like maybe like y'all are practicing eight counts. Like I'm just trying to stay at homeostasis here.
Yeah. Because another album I think your head would explode.
We're counting down the eights. Shut the fuck up! Shut the fuck up! What the fuck?
We're counting down the A's. Bitch, I'll kill you!
Yeah, we're counting down the A's. Smashing my fucking phone.
I'm a fucking bazooka, bitch.
No. Anyways. What were we talking about? Oh, okay.
What would you ask? The Asian's answer.
Okay.
Asian's answer.
Yes. If you were given the opportunity to ask BTS one question, like, what would it be? One or two?
Oh, my God. Wow, this is a lot of pressure.
No, it's not a lot of pressure. Just, it's been churning in your fucking soul for years. Just spit.
Oh, after watching the documentary and seeing how they cut in old clips of them living together, old clips of like the Bangtan bomb, old clips of them like doing when they lived in LA and stuff, I would probably ask probably just how it felt to live together again, because the clips of them eating dinner and like talking about the album were just so reminiscent of, yeah,
oh my God,
of
OG
me
days.
When I was 13 and like watching them.
Oh no.
Also, like, who are y'all bringing over? That's my follow-up question.
That's your silly question.
That's my silly question. Yeah. Like, who got the most bodies in there? What would you ask them?
I would kill to ask them.
Yeah.
What their opinions are on the direction of K-pop right now.
Oh, that's a good one.
Specifically, I would ask RM and Suga that.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, I kind of would want him to, like, get into the digginess of it and be like, some idols need to be curious. Some idols need to be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know what he would say, but I would, I'm very, very, very interested to see his critique of the lack or the direction of artistry from other idols and other groups today. That would be my first question. The other question would be, do you think that this sink or swim no longer being a thing? Because when they were OG, it's like, we release a song or we fail. And we go.
Yeah.
You know, do you think not having that has hindered or helped you in, like, the artistic process of it all?
Because they could truly put anything out and people would be like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is the best thing. And they could think it's shit. Like, they could just be a corporate group or whatever and just put whatever is going to do well and then not care about it and just, like, do their tour or whatever and then leave.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're continuing to invest so much time and effort and, like, cultural importance into this album and probably into this tour is still, like, how have your gears not run now?
Exactly.
What is fueling your brain to keep going at like the age and the successfulness that you have now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else is up there with for BTS for you? No one.
This is not a lot. It's kind of a short list if I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Like in terms of just artists or just K-pop?
Artists.
I think it's just BTS.
Really?
Yeah, because I've stuck with them the longest. Truly, truly the longest.
Okay, mine is Ariana, Beyonce, BTS, Bruno. Like, those four.
Oh, they're all at the same level.
Those four for me
really?
Are,
no,
like...
Really? No one teeters a little bit up?
I think Beyonce is always going to
be
my...
Wait, yeah, that's been your OG.
Beyonce is always going to be, like, no one does it like Beyonce.
Yeah. Which is true. Like, they're all incredible, and they're all at, like, different tiers in the music...
But like,
industry, whatever.
I'm not really one to compare. They're just different, and
yeah,
I think for me,
it's like
like
apples and oranges type shit.
Yeah, it's so. Beyonce's like intention in your face. Mm-hmm. This is about black culture and history in America.
Yeah.
Whereas BTS is kind of like intention, like as a concept. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, yeah.
And then Ariana is very intentional with like presence in life. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
yeah.
They're all very intentional in very different ways. Yeah. And, like,
and they're needed for someone like you that like has them at the same level, like in different phases of your yeah. life. Like they all mean something different.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. We love you, Glow Gang. And honestly, thank you for letting us just be honest. Like,
yeah.
Genuinely.
Yeah, especially after our last episode, after like our hard truths and our live stream, we were getting dragged, but
no like I
who cares,
I'm like, gonna be fucking honest, like
yeah, like
if there's one thing I learned from BTS, be honest.
It's be honest.
Yeah. Be honest. Be honest.
Be racist.
Okay, well, if you guys haven't seen our full ranking of the album, it's on our live tab on YouTube. We live stream every other Tuesday.
I live stream Wednesday and Thursday.
And we appreciate you guys so much for listening. If you're listening on audio, we appreciate you. And your next episode will start right now.
Right now, bitch.
We're going to say bye. We normally do our respectful language. Isa. Dola. Tedla.
Inga. How was your last one taken?
Guess I needed a home. Type in Glee. Holy fuck. I meant to. Oh, and BTS showed up! And BTS showed up!